97.5, The Fanatic.
Certainly an odd time to do sports talk radio, but we are making the absolute most of it. Thanks for hanging out with us here on this Saturday afternoon. I'm Tyler Zulli. We're here until 4 o'clock on The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. Tremendous job, as always, by the 9 to noon crew, the bro and the Chunas. I absolutely love listening to those guys. They're so much fun. They've got a really good rapport going, too. I do truly enjoy listening to Andrew and Jamie, so I hope you did as well. We've got a couple of sports things to get into, and then a couple of, they are sports related, but they're not, of course, you know, live sports, because we don't have any live sports. So the two things that I do want to discuss today that are actually sports related have to do with the fallout of the suspension of play in all the leagues. Because I truly do believe that both the NHL and the NBA at some point will play, if not the remainder of their regular season, they will play their playoffs. I do believe that at some point. What I am more concerned about is the beginning of the Major League Baseball season and how their schedule is going to play out. Because the NHL has, what, 10 games left? The NBA, a little bit more than that, 17, something along those lines. If you don't make those games up and you just decide that we're going to start the season back up from the playoffs, you know, that's cool. Because I think for the most part, the NBA, you know, the NBA especially, has most of its teams have cemented a playoff spot. I believe it's the 8 seeds in the East and the West that are the two up for grabs still. The Memphis Grizzlies, I think, hold the 8th seed in the West. And the Detroit Pistons hold the 8th seed in the East, if I'm not mistaken. So those are really the only two that we would be considering. So that league especially, I expect to play its playoffs. I also believe the NHL will at some point play its playoffs as well. We don't know when, but they're going to happen. When it comes to Major League Baseball, having the fact that they've not started, other than spring training, that they've not started concerns me. Now, I'm watching MLB Network here in the studio, and Joel Sherman says, heard that the MLB plan is to close off facilities for now. It follows up with the joint decision by MLBPA to shut spring training facilities for anything but training. Read, no on-field baseball means there'll have to be a second spring training when the sport resumes. That's my big concern, is that not only are you going to have to try to fit an entire season into a shortened time frame, but you're also going to have to get a second spring training involved. Because baseball, unlike I think every other sport, is the sport that needs its preseason the most. We've seen over the last couple of years, football preseason now is effectively a joke. The top players don't play. Football preseason is for guys 50 to 53 on the roster, maybe a little bit more. NBA, NHL preseason, really, again, don't mean a whole lot. But MLB spring training means a ton to these guys. Because unlike, I think, an NBA player who can, I believe, get acclimated quickly to playing in NBA games, especially pitchers need help. Pitchers need to figure out their stuff and they need to get their arm strength back up. You can't do that in simulated games. I truly believe that. The only way you can do that is in a full actual MLB game, whether it's spring training or regular season. So these guys are going to have to get a second spring training in. Now, whether that's a week, whether that's 3 weeks, somewhere in between, I don't know. But what I do know is that whenever Major League Baseball starts again, they're going to have to do a spring training, and then they're going to have to start the season. So for the league to say that they are still considering a 162-game schedule, that's mind-boggling to me. Because I have no idea how you're going to fit 162 games into the span of May through October, when you struggle to fit 162 games in the span of the end of March, beginning of April to October. the last thing I need to see is multiple days of doubleheaders. The last thing that I need to see is a league trying to fit 162 games into a five-month stretch. Now, I know that baseball is not taxing the way that hockey and basketball and football are taxing. But playing every day is taxing. So playing multiple times every day is just a massive concern for me. 610-632-0975. When it comes to scheduling, how do you think this thing shapes up when it's all said and done? We have absolutely no idea how long these suspensions are going to last. The only one that gave us even a time frame to report is the NBA. And Adam Silver said minimum 30 days. Every other league has left this open-ended. And if you tuned in last night at all with Devon Givens and Joe Torti, you know my feelings on that point. I believe that that is the absolute best thing that you could possibly do right now is make this open-ended. Because the last thing that the leagues need, the last thing this country needs is to think that everything is okay and it turns out that it's not. So I think that this is the absolute perfect thing to do. It just voids us of sports for the time being. So that's where the schedule conversation comes into play. The other thing that is, of course, on the table is the NFL seems to be going about its business as per usual. They seem to think that the draft is going to happen as normal. They think that free agency is going to happen as normal. If that is to be believed and that is the case, we've got some football to talk about. We've got some X's and O's to talk about. We've got some free agency breakdown to talk about because this Eagles team is far from perfect. And in fact, they may be a lot further from perfect than we want to believe. I think that they are three times as far from perfect as they were this time last season. Because last season they had a few holes to fill. This season they have a lot of holes to fill. So that is concerning to me as well. That is the two true sports conversation pieces that we're going to have today. Like the actual hard-hitting sports conversation that we could have on a daily basis, we're going to continue to have those. So it's schedule, and it is for all leagues, not just baseball, but baseball is the most concerning to me. It is schedule, and it is NFL free agency slash the NFL draft. We will get into my concerns for the Eagles in a little bit. I think that, like I said, I think they have a ton of holes to fill. My concerns being a couple of positions and the fact that they need to hit on a lot of their draft picks. So we'll get into that throughout the next 4 hours as well. We'll talk about the schedule. And then we've got a couple of fun things to do. Because I know that in times like this, this is unprecedented, but in times like this, we resort to any kind of sports topic that we can think of to fill the void of live sports. So what I did was, as any great millennial would do, I went to Google. And I Googled, rank the top Super Bowl teams. Super Bowl winners since Super Bowl I. And Sporting News gave me a great list. This is their list, not mine, but it gave me a great idea to put it into a bracket status. Because I know that a lot of people are watching old game film. They're watching old games. YouTube is abundant with them. MLB Network and NFL Network, the league networks are playing old games. I watched LeBron James's first game the other day. Still feels like it was yesterday, but it was 17 years ago. So a lot of people are watching old sports to fill the time. So what I did was, obviously there's 54 Super Bowl champions. So what I did was I took the top 32 and I put them into an NCAA-style bracket. And with this NCAA-style bracket, I have compiled matchups between the top 32 from Sporting News from their rankings. I will play spoiler right now. The Philadelphia Eagles, the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles, who, by the way, Dylan, I don't know if you know this or not, the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017. It's a good thing to remember in a time like this.
That's all I got
to
say.
That's all we got to say. The Eagles were ranked 32nd. Not great. I expected them to be a little bit higher, especially the team that they were. That was 13-3, got through all the adversity that it did, lost its starting quarterback, lost its starting left tackle, lost its special teams ace, lost its kicker, lost a linebacker. I thought that the team would be a little bit higher up there, but they were ranked 32nd all time, which means they draw the number one overall seed in this bracket. I don't like the odds for the 2017 Eagles to win a game because the number one overall seed is the 1972 Dolphins, the team that, by the way, didn't lose a game all year. Still celebrates every time a team that has an undefeated streak gets snapped. So the 72 Dolphins are the number one overall seed. The 2017 Eagles are the UMBC of this bracket. So when you give us a call at 610-632-0975, we will give you a game in the bracket. I'm also going to put it up on Twitter to give Twitter a chance to answer these questions as well. So every time a new game comes up, I'm going to put it on my Twitter, at Tyler Zuli, with two L's in Zuli. And we'll leave it to Twitter to answer a third of the poll. Now, here's how it's going to work. If the caller and Twitter both agree on the matchup, then it's over. The matchup is obviously the team that the two sides agreed on. The matchup is over. They'll move on to the next round. Now, if Twitter and the callers disagree, this is where Dylan McKinnon comes in. He is the ultimate tiebreaker. He is going to break every tie that we have today. So, like I said, the one seed is the 1972 Dolphins. The 32 seed is your 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. If the caller says the Eagles and Twitter says the 72 Dolphins, Dylan's the tiebreaker. There is no second tiebreaker. Whatever Dylan says in the case of a 1-1 tie is how this happens. And by the end of our 4 hours today, we are going to determine which team of the top 32 ranked Super Bowl teams by Sporting News is the greatest Super Bowl champion of all time. Now, I've got my opinion. I've got my thoughts on who it might be. I've actually got my thoughts on who I think is going to win each bracket, each side of the bracket. Spoiler, we're not going to give it away, but spoiler alert, I think it's going to be two teams that won the Super Bowl in back-to-back years because they're on opposite sides of the bracket. So we'll do that as well, 610-632-0975. And the last thing that I wanted to get into to kind of have some fun with you guys today, to kind of keep this thing relevant, kind of keep sports going in our lives. Not only are we watching old game tape and old Super Bowls, I hope that you have the 2017 Super Bowl on replay. One thing I like to do is I like to play a lot of video games, and especially sports video games. I'm a big fan, a big proponent of sports video games. And every single person that has played a lot of sports video games has one character or one player that they use that they are controlling in their seasons or in their games that they feel like they are unstoppable with. Now, some people's are pretty obvious. I've already gotten some reaction on Twitter to that question. The two that continually come up are 2004 Michael Vick from Madden 04 and Tecmo Bowl Bo Jackson. Those two are probably the leaders of the clubhouse right now when it comes to which of the players do you like to play with that you think is like the ultimate cheat code. Other people have given me some odd ones or some off-the-rail ones. Mine's also off the rail. So we'll get to mine in a little bit as well. So if you have a video game character or sports player, I should say, video game sports player that you find that you are supremely talented with, supremely good with, can be in any game, any style, arcade mode, handheld, console, computer, doesn't matter, that you have consistently had a lot of success with, I'd like to hear that one as well. The one that I loved, I got from a buddy of mine, Pablo Sanchez, from the good old backyard sports games. That guy, I mean, that guy, if you want to talk about cheat codes, that guy was the cheat code. That to me was like the ultimate. You could put him anywhere in your lineup in baseball. He could play anywhere in football. I mean, he really was a cheat code. He was cheating. So if you've got a player that you thought that you could use that was just unreal in any particular game, I'd like to hear from you. Now, when I say odd or random or, you know, kind of off the cuff, the perfect example, Andrew Salchunas said to me before he left, Tony Womack in any game before 2006. And I pressed him on that and I said, is there any game in particular? And I forgot, I haven't checked Twitter yet. I gotta see if he responded. But Tony Womack was the guy that he went with. And I just look at Tony Womack and I go, how did you come away with a guy like that? How did you come away with a guy like Tony Womack as your go-to guy? And then I remembered my guy, and I have to give him some credit because that's a good play. So that's on the table as well. So here's what we've got. We've got fourfold. Because we've got no sports, live sports to discuss, we've got four topics of discussion, and we're going to hit on them all. And if you've got anything else for me, please let's do it. So here's what we've got. First off, Major League Baseball is saying that they are going to have to restart spring training and then get to their regular season. And if they do that, they are still maintaining that they're going to play 162 games. I think that is a terrible, terrible decision. How can you get 162 games on the table in two less months? Minimum one less month, but very likely two less months, because this is the only sport that you need spring training. How are they going to fit 162 games? And I think that's crazy. Number two, NFL free agency, as of right now, is going on as expected. So let's talk about some Eagles moves that need to be made. Byron Jones seems to be the name that comes to most people's minds right away. I think he's a perfect fit. It's a cornerback position that they desperately need, and he's a lockdown corner. We'll get into him and why he needs to be an Eagle as soon as legal tampering takes place. But if you've got another name, another position, maybe an under-the-radar guy that you think that the Eagles should go after in free agency, let's talk about it. And then we can get into the NFL draft as well, which is coming up at the end of April. Still on as of right now. We all seem to be under the assumption that a wide receiver is going to be the first round pick, or it should be. Now, I had this argument with Connor Thomas earlier last week. I know Dylan is also against me on this one. So we'll get into which receiver, if you believe it's a receiver, should the Eagles take. And then we've got two fun topics. We've got an NFL style bracket of all NFL Super Bowl champions. Starting, I shouldn't say all, we have 32 of the top 54. And this list was put together by Sporting News. So I took their rankings. This is not my rankings. We'll give you a game. You give us the winner. We'll take the Twitter as well. If you guys agree, there you go. There's the winner. If not, Dylan McKinnon is the tiebreaker. Finally, one sports character in video game format that you were absolutely dominant with. We'll get Dylan's in a little bit. I'll give mine in a little bit as well. So that is what's on the table from now until 4 o'clock, 610-632-0975. Let's start things off in Richboro with Eric. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how are you today?
Doing well, man. How about yourself?
I can't complain. It's beautiful out. So I was thinking about this baseball thing. I just hopped in my car about 10 minutes ago.
Sure.
And you mentioned they're trying to play the whole season. I think I have the way you can just cut out. I'm not sure how many games it would actually cut out, but interleague play. I would just nix all interleague play. So you don't play National League. Like, the Phillies wouldn't play the Red Sox and stuff like that this year. I think it might be close to, like, 30 games just that quickly. Get them out of the way.
So that would be your first step, is just automatically eliminate regular season interleague play. That's not a bad way to go about it. I think that's a good start. I'm looking at the schedule now to try to confirm that number. That would be a really good first step. So I know in April alone, the Phillies would play four. They've got two against the Blue Jays and two against the Rangers. No interleague play in May. So we go to June. They've got three against the A's. That gets us to seven. Three against the Astros and three against the Mariners in July. That gets us to 13. Three against the Angels. Also, that gets us to 16. Two more against Texas later in the year. That gets us to 18. And that takes us into September when they play mostly NL games. So they're right there, Eric. That's not a bad start. That's 18 games off the table.
A problem with that could be, though, there's 15 teams in each conference, so there's going to be at least two teams who have to be off every day, and that could cause problems when you're trying to make up games.
Also true.
Yeah. And then I have my my favorite sports character.
Sure, go ahead.
Gareth Bale from FIFA 12 was okay. Unstoppable.
Gareth Bale at that point would have played for who?
Tottenham Hotspurs.
Okay.
That was, I believe, his last year with the Spurs, and he, I think, won FIFA Player of the Year that year.
Was he also on the Welsh national team that year?
Yes.
That team was so bad, and Eric, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. That team was so bad, other than Gareth Bale on that team. Like, historically bad. And then it was Gareth Bale. Like, you would look at the rankings, and they'd be like 62, 67, and then Gareth Bale was like a 98. Because he was unreal. You could win games with just Gareth Bale. So going back to his point on eliminating the interleague games, Dylan, I think you're right. That's cause for concern. On the surface, it makes a lot of sense. On the surface, it makes sense to just say, get rid of the interleague games and, you know, shrink the season in from there and shrink it in both ways. That, to me, is the best way to do it. You've got to shrink it both ways. If you're going to do that, you take 9 off the front, 9 off the back. That gives you a week and a half on both ends. But your point is correct. There are 15 teams in each league, which would mean that a team in each league would have to be off every night. That would be very difficult to do. It would have made way more sense 6 years ago when it was 16 and 14. Whoever came up with that, who knows? But that would have made way more sense when it was 16 and 14 because you could have conceivably done that and then you'd have had 7 AL games every night and 8 NL games. Doesn't really work as, you know, it doesn't work as much in practice as it does in theory.
I think when they do this, when they have the shortened season, they're almost going to need to redo the schedule because if you just take certain games off the front or certain games off the back, it's going to be unbalanced with
correct.
How many division games you're playing, how many...
And
you just almost have to like go through the whole thing and almost redo it.
And that's the thing. The divisional games are going to be the tough part because you have to play the divisional games. So if you are going to not eliminate the interleague play because of the balanced schedule, you're going to have to eliminate other National League games. So like speaking for the Phillies, you're going to have to eliminate other National League games. So where do you eliminate them? Do you eliminate them in the National League West just because that's, you know, like the least likely rival source? Does it just simply become we're eliminating games that don't create buzz? So if the, you know, the Phillies are good, let's say they're good this season, and the Giants stink, are you just going to eliminate that game? It's going to be a scheduling nightmare. I do not feel like I'd want to be a part of that league trying to reschedule things. NBA and NHL have one of two options. They play the games, what's left, and then play the playoffs as normal, maybe shrink the playoff series down. I thought Chris Therrien had a great idea going to 5 games for the first couple of series and then going to 7 for the Stanley Cup. I thought that was a great idea. I know a lot of people were super opposed to that, but I think that's a great way to get everything in. Those two leagues have it easy. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they have it easy. This is not an easy time. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, an easy time. We'll get into more of it on the other side. 610-632-0975. This is going to be a very, very difficult time for Major League Baseball. I think the only one that's got it, quote-unquote, easy is the NFL. They don't have to worry about their games right now. Will they have to eventually? It's possible. But they'll cross that bridge when they get to it. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon's producing the show. I'm Tyler Zuli. We're here until 4 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So the first round matchup, I should say, of our Super Bowl champion bracket is officially up on my Twitter page. It will be up, each bracket will be up for just about 10 minutes. I think that's how we'll do it. We'll only put them up for 10 minutes time. So get in as soon as you can at my Twitter, at Tyler Zuli. I'll have Dylan McKinnon try to keep an updated tab on each of our polls. I'll do so as well. You can find us there. You get a chance to vote on Twitter. If you don't get a chance to answer the bracket question on the lines, and like I said, how we're going to do this thing is one-third of the vote. I should actually probably say one half of the vote, 49% of the vote, I guess it would be, is the caller on the line. 49% of the vote is going to be on Twitter as well. And if the 98% don't agree, the 2% goes to Dylan McKinnon. So he is our official tiebreaker here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks for joining us throughout the day. I know it's a little bit of a crazy time, so we're trying to get through it. We're here with you guys. It's really one of the beautiful things about the radio industry is that we're here with you guys. We get to hang out with you guys throughout this whole thing. I know there's no live sports to talk about, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't have things to discuss. We've got a lot of topics on the table today. I know that the Tunis and the Bro had a great show earlier. It was, you know, these are the kind of conversations that we all like to have. These are the kind of conversations that when you and your buddies are at the bar, or, you know, sitting in, you know, your friend's basement having a couple beers on a Friday night, these are the kind of topics that come up. You know, you talk about who do you want the Eagles to draft. You talk about who's a big free agent signing. But at the same time, you discuss, hey, who do you think would win a game between X team and Y team? And the first bracket matchup right now is a 1 versus an 8 seed. The first bracket matchup, we will give it to Christian, who's coming up next, and then I will put it out to you. It's already on my Twitter. The Fanatic Twitter has also retweeted it, so you can find it there as well. So as soon as we get Christian's answer, and then we get our 10 minutes of the poll being up, we'll decide who moves on. And we'll do this throughout the next couple of days. I'm also on tomorrow night as well from 4 to 8, so we will continue the bracket tomorrow night from 4 to 8. But let's start things off, this segment, start things off with Christian on the cell. What's up, Christian?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for making the call.
So I called to talk about baseball schedule.
Yeah, please.
That's okay. Why not, instead of extending spring training, why don't you push opening day back an arbitrary number of days, and your spring training is what those games would have been until that opening day. So you're still seeing teams in Philadelphia and, you know, in their home markets, and fans are still getting to see those games, but it's still not the full season. You'd have to make some roster adjustments to allow for that spring training-like experience.
Right.
But seems kind of like the best of both worlds. Obviously, you'd have to cut down the 162 games in doing that.
You know, Christian, and that's the thing is, for me, the first step is eliminating games. That's like step number one. That may be step number zero, just because it seems so evident and obvious that would be the step. My question to you would be, when it comes to things like pay grade and, you know, roster construction, is there any worry that, like, salaries, I know that salaries are guaranteed in the major leagues, but not in the minor leagues, and those guys don't make a whole lot of money. Is there any concern for you that the minor league players get affected by this more so than the major league players?
That's a great question. But I would assume if you push back the spring training later, those guys who are still with the big league club would still get paid at that. I would assume it's an enhanced rate while they're with the big league club.
Okay.
I'm not qualified enough to talk to you.
No, and neither am I, and that's kind of why we're really just bouncing ideas off each other, because we're not, you know, the MLBPA, and we're not the commissioner, we're not Rob Manfred. We are just kind of a bunch of guys talking sports, and that's where we're kind of trying to bounce ideas off each other, and that, to me, seems to be my biggest concern, is the welfare of the minor league players.
You would hope that baseball owners would start stepping up some of these NBA owners are stepping up.
Right, exactly. Now, Christian, before I let you go, so we're going to start this bracket with you. So you are the inaugural vote. The first bracket matchup is a 1 seed versus an 8 seed in the NFL. It's ranking the top 32 Super Bowl champions. We're not doing it on who would win in a game. We're just doing it on which team you thought was a better team. So the one seed is the 15-1 1985 Bears. The eight seed is the Jimmy Johnson-led 1995 Dallas Cowboys.
Got to go with the 85 Bears. Obviously, the numbers they put up or didn't put up, and they were just fun.
Yeah, so Christian, thank you for the phone call. I thought that was going to be how it goes, and on Twitter it's 107 votes so far. 92.5% take the 85 Bears.
I'm going to say we can call this one.
Yeah, you know, we have 6 minutes left in the poll, but I think that we could probably confidently say this one's over. So here's the thing. Between the fact that it was the heralded best defense of all time, or a top three defense of all time, that's step number one. And I think number two, the Cowboys weren't going to get any votes anyway. So the fact that 9% of the poll has taken the 95 Cowboys is about what I expected. I actually maybe even thought it might be less. So, yeah, you know what, Dylan? We can shut this one down. I know there's 4 minutes left in the poll, but the one seed 85 Bears do move on into the second round. That was probably a pretty easy one. 610-632-0975. So just like that, if you give us a call today, we will get you into this bracket. It's, you know, we're really just trying to have some fun with the sports world now that it's a lot of it's suspended or canceled or postponed, or, you know, we don't have an idea of when things are going to quote unquote get back to normal. It may be a few weeks. It may be a few months. I don't know how long it's going to take each individual league to kind of get back to status quo. And then on top of that, I don't know how long it's going to take each individual fan to feel comfortable to adjust back to normalcy. Everybody's got a different level of tolerance and everybody's got a different level of comfortability. I don't know personally how long it's going to take me to go back to a game. I don't know how long it's going to take me to go back to a concert. You know, I have one of my best friend's weddings coming up in 6 weeks. And I feel confident going to that because there are not that many people going. Plus, I wouldn't miss it. I don't know how different a wedding where there's a gathering of 100, 150 people, how much different that is versus a sporting event. You know, especially an outside sporting event, where the air is a little bit more, I guess, circulated, you could call it. I don't know how long it's going to take to get back to normal. And that's what we're here for, is to provide you with some entertainment, some fun, some value. You know, especially if you're out driving or you're home, you're probably on day three of telecommuting. You know, this is obviously the weekend, you're not working, but you're on day three of not going into work. You're on day three of probably not going to the bar or a conference or a game.
Or if you're on your way to supermarket to buy 20 packs of toilet paper.
That probably are not there for you. You're probably making the trip for nothing. But if you are making that trip, this is what we're here for. We're here to give you an outlet to just have some fun. And that's why we are discussing the NFL free agency. We are discussing the NFL draft. We're discussing, you know, scheduling. But we're also trying to mix in some fun. We're trying to mix in, you know, who do you think is the greatest Super Bowl champion of all time, you know, of the top 32. We're trying to mix in, give me a video game athlete that you were unbelievably successful with. Just to have some fun. Because I really don't know how long people will want to have serious conversations. Because serious conversations are meant for live sports. You know, the Sixers lose. Brett Brown makes a bad decision. Let's react. The Flyers win 9 straight. They're on a roll. Alain Vigneault's been the difference. Let's react. That's serious sports conversation. This is also an amazingly serious topic. But what we are able to provide is sometimes an escape from a serious topic. Have some fun. Just do something a little bit different. And that's why we're doing this bracket today. That's why we'll continue the bracket tomorrow. That's why we're having the conversation about, you know, who's your top video game athlete of all time? Just something a little bit different, off the cuff. Dylan, before we head to break, Do you have a particular video game athlete that you were superiorly talented with?
I had put one answer as a response to your tweet, but since then I had thought of a better one.
Okay.
Back when NBA Live was still a thing.
Oh, I have a feeling I know where you're going with this, but let's see if we're correct.
My friend, I don't even remember which version of NBA Live it was. It was at his house and it was on 360. But I would always play off the Suns.
Oh, okay. You're going differently.
I would score 90 points a game with Steve Nash. Just jacking up threes.
That's a consistent answer. I bet you people our age, because you know you and I are the same age, I bet you people our age would have that consistently. Is that like 06, 07, 08 Steve Nash? Yeah. That Suns team was unreal. They didn't win anything, but that team was unreal. But I bet you that's a very consistent answer. I thought you were going to go a little bit earlier in the NBA Live saga and go with the one that really we started with was the like 02 Sacramento Kings.
Ooh.
And go with Peja Stojakovic, because he didn't miss either. He was like lights out from deep, just like Steve Nash was in a lot of the later games. So
what was funny is my one friend would always play as the Nuggets, and he'd have Chauncey Billups and do the same thing I was doing with Nash. It would be Chauncey Billups with 90 points, Steve Nash with 90 points, maybe Amari Stoudemire with 6.
Yeah, the difference was your other guys.
It was just
whoever else was on the team.
It was so easy to shoot threes in whatever version of NBA Live it was. It was just unstoppable. If you had a good 3-point shooter, they're going to hit it every single time.
Now, let me ask you this before we head to the break. Does something like this, where there's no live sports to watch, does this prompt you, if you're going to play a game, does this prompt you to play a game, a more recent game, or does this prompt you to go back and play old school games?
A little bit of both. Okay. I picked random games out of my little PS4 selection, just been playing through them. I played through The Witcher 3, which gives you like 200 hours worth of game time. I might get into some little NBA 2K if I really get like desperate for sports.
So you're doing a little bit of both. We had a caller last night, and I know we're running a little bit behind, but I had a caller last night with Joe Torti say that, actually it was with Devon Givens, I apologize, saying that he has put 2K on and is watching computer versus computer simulations. And that's like how he's getting his basketball fix. I never thought of that because I would be personally bored because I'd want to control, but it's not a bad idea if that's what we've got to lean on. Something to think about. 610-632-0975. We're here until 4 o'clock on The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon's producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli. We'll be back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Okay, it's time. It's time to put the poll up that I didn't want to put up, because I need to preface this by saying don't be a homer just to be a homer. But it's time to put the 1 versus 8 seed up in the upper left bracket. And again, I need to say, have to preface this by saying, I did not make these rankings. These rankings came from an objective third-party site. I didn't put them out. I'm just reporting the news. So when we get to this poll, don't kill me. The question is, one-seeded 1972 Dolphins versus the eight-seeded 2017 Philadelphia Eagles.
Who's this man?
I didn't make the poll. I mean, I made the poll. I didn't make the rankings. This is not me. I went on an objective third-party site that has absolutely nothing to do with me or the Fanatic. I just wanted to get some objectivity in there. They made the ranking, not me. The 72 Dolphins are the only undefeated team in the history of football from start to finish. Obviously, the Patriots had an undefeated regular season. The 72 Dolphins were the team that, of course, won the Super Bowl, unlike the Patriots, who lost to the New York Giants. The 2017 Eagles were an awesome team. They were a great team. They got through so much adversity. I personally thought that they should be higher. I didn't think that they are the 32nd best Super Bowl team of all time. I wasn't alive in the 60s. I didn't watch those teams. I'm not sitting here scouting Hank Stram and the 69 Chiefs. But just based on what I know about the 2017 Eagles, I think that they should have been ranked higher than the 1969 Chiefs.
We world champs, baby, and that's all I got to say.
I got to call up my co-host, or my host, I should say, for This Week in Pro Football, Pat Callahan, because he's going to ream me out for saying that Hank Stram's Chiefs weren't very good. I'll have to get him on the line at some point. But like, you look at some of these teams that are in the top 32 that are ahead of the Eagles. And speaking of the Eagles, we're going to get into some Eagles free agency in just a little bit. I look at some of these teams. The 69 Chiefs, of course, were the one that jumps out to me right away. The 2003 Patriots. So I thought the 2004 Patriots were better than the 2017 Eagles. I also thought that the 2001 team might have been better than the 03 team. I didn't think the 03, I thought the 03 team was the worst of their Super Bowl teams. They're ranked ahead of the Eagles by quite a bit. In fact, they are the 18 seed. 14 teams in between those two. I don't know if I agree with that. Eagles free agency is coming up. And we teased this in the first segment. Byron Jones seems to be that name. Byron Jones seems to be just the dude that everybody wants to go after. And you either say Byron Jones is the guy and that's it, or you say Byron Jones is not the guy because the Eagles have been burned by free agent corners in the past. I can't subscribe to that theory. I can't subscribe to the theory of, well, it happened in the past, so naturally that means it's going to happen in the future, or it's going to happen in the present. I know what happened with Nnamdi Asamoah. I know what happened with Byron Maxwell. I know what happened with Kerry Williams. It happens. Guys get burned. Teams get burned all the time by free agents. Peyton Hillis had one of the greatest running back years of all time. Turned it into a mega deal with the Browns. Turned it into the mega deal with the Browns. Guy was obscure the next year. So it happens. Also, a lot of times you get guys that are lower key free agents. They're not the number one target of a particular team. Cough, cough, wink, wink. Free safety Malcolm Jenkins, who hasn't missed a snap in years, was not the number one target of the Philadelphia Eagles. In fact, was not the number one target of multiple teams. If you guys remember to go back, Jarius Byrd was the number one target. Ended up signing with the New Orleans Saints, I believe. Didn't outlast Malcolm Jenkins. There was another safety, the Cleveland Browns safety, blanking on his name. That was the number two, T.J. Ward. T.J. Ward signs with the Denver Broncos. Didn't outlast Malcolm Jenkins. These things are ebb and flow. You get a guy that you didn't think, that you thought was maybe number three on your priority list. That's an all-pro free safety that up until this year, because he feels like he deserves more money, probably rightfully so deserves more money, has been the best player on your defense and has been one of the best players on your team. Wasn't the first target. You get guys like Nnamdi Asamoah on the flip side, who was the number one priority, was the number one cornerback target in all of football. It didn't work out. He wasn't a scheme fit. I think Byron Jones is above scheme. I really do. I think that Byron Jones is a lockdown man-to-man corner. Is he Darrell Revis in his prime? No. How many corners in the history of football were? But if you're looking for a shutdown corner, if it's a position that you feel is a necessity, then you have to attack it aggressively and you take the fallout if something happens. If something were to happen and he's not good with the Eagles, you take the fallout. You eat the salary. Things happen. But until these things happen, I am under the impression that you go and get the guy, the best guy. Because I'm really, really sick of seeing mock drafts where the Eagles trade up for C.J. Henderson. I've said this multiple times. I think C.J. Henderson's going to be a really talented corner in the NFL. The cornerback out of Florida. I think he's really good. I like his adjustments. I like his play on the field. I think he's a good player. But it goes back to that so famous Family Guy skit. I didn't come up with this. This is something I saw, but it goes back to that Family Guy scene where they have the option of the boat or the mystery box. Byron Jones is the boat. CJ Henderson is the mystery box. Now, here's the thing with the boat. You know the boat is a boat. And Peter famously says on that Family Guy scene, the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. It could be a boat. You could have a better boat. CJ Henderson could be a great boat. And you're not paying him what you're paying Byron Jones. And this convoluted comparison, all I'm going to say is, Byron Jones, you know, is a boat. CJ Henderson could be a boat. He could be a cardboard box. I know that you're not paying CJ Henderson what you have to pay Byron Jones, but I'm willing to pay for the boat that operates than pay for the mystery box. It's a convoluted comparison, but I thought it was a great one for all you Family Guy fans out there. 610-632-0975. Before we hit the break, let's get to Mark in Mount Airy. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for making the call.
Listen, I have to disagree with you about Byron Jones, man.
Okay.
Because nothing... Yeah, waiting on the drink. Nothing in his tape...
Ordering food there?
Nothing in his tape shows... Shamrock Shake. Nothing in his tape shows me that he's a lockdown corner.
Really?
And nothing in his stats show me that.
Well, I mean, like have you looked at the two particular ones that I think are the most telling are receptions per target and receiving yards per catch. So those two to me are telling because the receptions per target are super low, which means that he is not getting picked on. And then the receiving yards per catch are also pretty low, which means that when guys are catching passes, he's wrapping them up pretty quickly.
I mean, I hear you. I disagree. Particularly, I disagree because it's not high enough considering the money. Like, at $19 million,
Is that what worries you the most, is paying him?
No. What worries me the most is paying him and he is a middle of the road corner.
Okay.
That's what worries me. Like, I pay a middle of the road corner, middle of the road money.
Okay. So,
just because you are the best in this current free agency doesn't mean you get paid like you're the best cornerback.
Okay. So let me ask you two questions here, Mark, before we let you go. First question is, if you were to swing and miss with C.J. Henderson in the first round, and that's just an example. It could be another corner, but C.J. Henderson's the top corner that will be available. If you're to swing and miss with C.J. Henderson, is that more acceptable to you than swinging and missing with free agent Byron Jones?
It would be, but that's not the way I would go with this free agency at all. Like that, like with this free agency, the way that I would like to have address, like the Eagles to address it, is address your safeties. Like, because there are several high quality safeties that you'll get for the price of one Byron Jones. You'll get two high quality safeties for the price of one Byron Jones, and then get your corner in the second round. And if it doesn't work out this year, get your corner next year. But at the very least, you have two high quality safeties that will protect you over the top.
Okay, that's fair enough. And Mark, before I let you go, we're going to add you into this bracket here. The teams at hand are the 1972 Dolphins versus the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. Now, again, we're not doing this as in if the two teams played today, who would win. We're just more doing it along the lines of who had a better season overall.
Oh, the Eagles definitely had a better season, in my opinion. Like, they played more games and... They fought through adversity. Like, you lost your starting quarterback, you lost your left tackle, you won a game in the Super Bowl where the opposing quarterback is arguably the greatest of all time, and he passed for over 500 yards on you.
All right, Mark, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that whoever called in was going to give the Eagles. He gave Here's the thing. Mark gave stats at least to somewhat back it up. Twitter is also not very kind to the 72 Dolphins. I knew that this was going to happen, that the 72 Dolphins, who should not lose a game and should probably win multiple games, were going to fall. So Mark picks the 2017 Eagles. Twitter, 222 votes, over 81% of people take the 2017 Eagles.
Closer margin than the other one.
It's a closer margin, but here's the thing. I said at the beginning of the show, and you and I agreed on this before we got started, we're not going to skew anything, we're not going to change anything, we're not going to veto anything. The 2017 Eagles move on. Super weird. 610-632-0975. We'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side. Tim and Elkins Park, you're up first on the other side, then it can be you. We're back at it for the 1 o'clock hour right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.